And let's open our Bibles this morning to Psalm 119, continuing our study on the colts. We started last week and we'll conclude this morning, Lord willing, on just a short study review on the on Christian Science. Of course, this thing was founded by Miss Mary Baker Eddy, and we kind of covered all about her, and I guess a good way to describe her would be, if I could think of one word, it would be cuckoo. That would pretty much do it. But she was a nut. Did a lot of morphine, obviously, and you know, those things can affect you. They can affect your mind. So I can understand how she became the way she did. Anybody that followers, you know, her followers obviously have some peculiar similarities with that along the way, I'm sure, somewhere. Continuing here in Psalm, looking at Psalm 119, just kind of a couple verses to springboard off of this morning. Look with me in Psalm 119 and verse 104. Psalm 119, verse 104. It sure is good to see Sister Mildred back with us. God bless you, sister. Amen. Doing all right? Getting better? Amen. Not letting Tony beat up on you anymore or anything? All right, good. Amen. He's taking good care of you, right? Is he taking good care of you, sister? He better be. Amen. If he doesn't, you let me know. All right? I think I can take him. I don't fight fair, but I think I can. All right. You be quiet. All right, Psalm 104, or 119, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Do you? Amen. I mean, I thank God for the Word of God. I thank God for the truth. And when I see somebody just mishandling the Word of God and treating it like a piece of garbage and just taking it and trying to twist it to make it fit their own little personal beliefs instead of humbling themselves under, I hate that. I hate every false way. Amen. Look, he meant this so much, he said it twice. Look in verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So as we've been studying these cults and we're learning about some false ways, we hate that because we love the truth. We love people. We want to see people get saved and get out of that darkness and be able to walk in fellowship with the Lord. Amen. So continuing on now, hopefully you have a handout. If not, too bad. We got back from camp yesterday, and honest to God, I'm wore out. I'm going to make no more copies. So if you don't have one, cheat with somebody else. Amen. Or we'll get you one later. But we're on page 4 now, at the top of page 4, and we've been looking through the what they teach compared to what the Bible teaches on certain doctrines, what the Christian Science teach concerning the blood atonement. They say that the real atonement, so infinitely beyond the heathen conception, that God requires human blood to propitiate his justice and bring his mercy, needs to be understood. No, it doesn't need to be understood, because God doesn't require human blood. God's blood couldn't do the trick. I mean, human blood couldn't do the trick. God needed his own blood. Amen? You know what blood was in Jesus Christ? Well, did he have man's blood? He was every bit man. But didn't he also have God's blood? When his blood came out, it wasn't just blood, was it? It was water and blood. Water of life. That's God's blood proceeding from the throne of God. That's the life. They say the life of the flesh is in the blood. We know that, right? But the life that was in Jesus Christ was not just human life. It was the eternal life of God. And so when his blood was shed, it wasn't just human blood. The human blood just ran down and scabbed and decayed, just like yours or I's would. But we're talking about the blood of God, see? Over there in Acts chapter 20, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, that you may feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Whose blood? God's blood. See? God purchased you. He redeemed you with his own blood. That's why Christ came, to shed the blood of God so that you and I could be saved and have eternal life. And if it wasn't for God's blood, there's no way you could make it. That's the only thing that could pay the price for your sins and mine. Amen. Maybe we ought to just have an altar call now after what Brother Richie was preaching this morning. And some of you, the way you're looking, like you just ate a lemon or something. I mean, you need to appreciate the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to thank God that his blood cleanses us from all sin. If it wasn't for that blood, man, where would we be? Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin, the Bible says. Now, they say that the material blood of Jesus was no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon the cursed tree than when it was flowing in his veins. Really? They don't know much Bible, obviously. Without blood, we all would be lost. Amen. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." See, when God had those animal sacrifices done in the Old Testament, there was a purpose for it. You know what it was? To shed the blood. See, it was the blood that had to make an atonement. And without the blood, no atonement could be made. It wasn't the killing of the Passover lamb, John MacArthur. It was the blood of the lamb put on the doorposts and on the sides of the posts that protected those that went in. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. We need the blood of Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. Over there in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11, it says, "Christ being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." How was it possible for Jesus Christ, after his death, burial, and resurrection, to enter into the Holy of Holies in the third heaven? How could the Lord Jesus Christ ever, after dwelling on the earth and dwelling among and then taking the sins of the world upon himself, how could he then ever have the opportunity to enter into the Holy of Holies in the third heaven in the presence of God? There's only one way. He had to come in with blood. Just as the high priest in the Old Testament in the tabernacle. If he was once a year he had to go, if he was going to go into that Holy of Holies, listen, that incense had to be burning. Amen. And he had to go in there with them bells on, and he had to go in there clean, and he had to go in there with that blood and sprinkle that blood on that mercy seat. And if everything wasn't just right, boom, he was a dead duck. See? And thank God Jesus Christ was able to get back there and do that, because now, because he's able to do that, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercessions for us. Amen. That's what makes it so great, is that we have a living Savior. We don't have dead religion. We have someone that's talking to God on our behalf right now. See? If it wasn't for that, where would any of us be? That's why I know I have eternal life. Amen. Well, what if you lose it? What if you do? You know what? You know what your problem is. You got to get off of that. You know what you keep thinking? You keep thinking you've got a hold of God. You don't have a hold of God. He's got a hold of you. Amen. That's why you're saved, because he got a hold of you. That's it. Amen. And look over there. Hold your place. This isn't in the outline. Romans 5. Verse 10. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and not while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified," what? "By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." But look at verse 10. Romans 5:10. You need to get a hold of this verse. It'll help you. "For if, when we were enemies," what is that? Before you were saved, right? Before you were saved, you were an enemy of God. That's why the wrath of God abode upon you. You were going to go to hell because of that, see? "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God," how? "By the death of his son." Because of the cross of Calvary, we can find reconciliation. We can be brought back and become a child of God. Reconciliation. We were enemies. Now we're friends. Amen. God can look at Ray Williamson and say, he's my friend because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Amen. If you're saved, God looks at you now as his friend, as his child. He's adopted you into his family. He's given you life. He's given you birth. See? But what happens now if you mess up? But see, because that's just the cross. That's just what he did in his death to reconcile. But look at the rest of the passage. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, now you're his friend, now you're on his side, being reconciled, we shall be saved, what? By his life. Now that he's alive and seated at the right hand of the Father, we shall, that's future. It isn't just that we have been saved, it's that we shall be saved. For all eternity we're saved because we have an intercessor who's seated alive at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen? And so that's, we need to realize that's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood to redeem, his blood to purchase us, his blood to reconcile us, his blood to allow access into the Holy of Holies so that he can ever live to make intercession for us. Matthew 26:28 says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, you wouldn't have a New Testament. It was the shedding of his blood that creates that New Testament. Amen. Without the death of the testator, there's no testament. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, received by the vain conversation, traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Thank God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that does that for you and I. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Revelation 1:5 says unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hey, isn't it good to be clean? There's only one way to be clean. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what do they teach, the Christian Science teach, concerning the death and resurrection of Christ? Obviously, this is the gospel. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Now, if you can't get this straight, you're not going to get anything straight. Now, this is what they say. They say his disciples believed Jesus to be dead while he was hidden in the sepulchre, whereas he was alive. Really? So Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took a living Savior to a tomb. I don't think so. I don't think so. Amen. You need to review those things a little bit. Look, they say his disciples believed Jesus to be dead while he was hidden in the sepulchre, whereas he was alive, demonstrating within the narrow tomb the power of spirit to overrule mortal material sense. See, Christian Science teaches, well, you never die. See, you're just a spirit now, and you'll be a spirit always. You're not really a person, you know that. You're just a spirit who thinks you are. Honest to God, that's what they believe. Like I said, it's a lot of drugs. A lot of drugs to get to that point. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. And then he talks in verse 2, it's not in here, except he says, except you believe in vain. And that vain has to do with if you don't really believe that Jesus rose again. If you don't really believe Jesus rose again, you believe in vain. Because that's the gospel. If you don't believe that it was a living Savior who saved you, you believed in vain. A dead Savior couldn't save you. That's why Buddha can't save you. That's why Muhammad can't save you. That's why the only one that can save you is Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that rose from the dead. Amen. We need life from the dead. We need spiritual life from the dead. We need to be born again. And one day we're looking forward to being raised from the dead, the resurrection. And we can. How could you have that hope if the one that went before you hadn't done the same thing? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died. So Paul's lying? Well, either Paul is or Mary Baker Eddy is. That's a hard one to say fast. Mary Baker Eddy. Say it 10 times fast. I don't want to. I don't like the name. Name it. Maria Short. And then he was buried. So they buried him while he was alive. And that he rose again. Well, he couldn't if he was alive. See? You've destroyed the entire gospel if you say that Jesus Christ never really died. That's what the Gnostics teach. He's just a spirit, see? No. He was a living Savior. He was the Son of God who died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried, and 3 days later defeated death and came back alive. Thank God. Good morning, Justin. Josh, I'm just kidding. All right. I had to get that in. Amen. Good to have you. All right. So what do they say concerning Satan and evil? Let's see. Hence, evil is but an illusion. And Ted Bundy is just an illusion. I wish Hillary Clinton was just an illusion. Amen. All these vagaries are at variance with my system of metaphysics. Well, and obviously her system is more important than the Bible, see, which rests on God as one and all. So there is no devil, there is no demons, there is no evil, God is everything. That's Gnosticism, see? Sin and sickness and death are to be classified as effects of error. Those are just effects of error. They're not sin. Sin isn't really sin. So Christ died for your sins. Well, Christ didn't die and you didn't sin. Now, what does any of that have to do with the Bible? Nothing at all, see? There's nothing Christian about this thing at all. To destroy the belief. Christ came to destroy the belief of sin. Honest to God. Now, I don't know, maybe she got somewhere, you know, cave and there were some mushrooms. I don't know. Something happened. Because she's a nut. Sin, sickness, and death are declassified as effects of error. Christ came to destroy the belief of sin. If you don't believe it's sin, then it's not sin. Wasn't that wonderful? Wow, yeah, I can just go out and kill you. But it's okay. It's not really sin. What kind of, honest to God, think about that. How far do you have to get out to start thinking that way? That'd be as bad as somebody saying, well, it's okay for a man to be with another man. That's not sin. Yeah. Where'd you get that from? Well, you didn't get it from the Bible. You just made it up. See? All these cults, that's all they are. Like I told you, they're what the Bible calls fables. It's just a story that somebody made up that they like. Right. Well, Mama's passed on, but we believe she's in a better place now. Well, good. Why? Well, because we like to believe that, well, that's nice, but why? What is your belief founded on? Anything? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Obviously, none of this stuff has anything to do with the Bible. The Bible teaches there's a literal devil. Isaiah 14:12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Amen. He calls him an anointed cherub in Ezekiel 28:14. He's said to be a deceiver over there in Revelation chapter 20. The Bible says he that commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law in 1 John 3:4. What is sin? It's the transgression of the law. Are you going to say that the law isn't real? There wasn't any Ten Commandments? Moses, really? Do you understand? Once you start, where are you going to stop? Just throw the whole Bible out and teach whatever you want. Well, you don't call it Christian. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ at all. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Okay? Anything you do that's not right, that's sin. People come to me all the time, well, preacher, you think it's wrong to do whatever. You fill in the blank. And I tell them, well, why are you asking me?
There you go.
So obviously, it's bothering you. Okay? Listen, if it's not bothering you, do it. Because it must be right. You know, I've had Christians say, well, I don't think it's wrong for a Christian to, you know, have a couple glasses of wine in a while or a couple of beers. And I said, fine, good. Just give thanks before you know. If it's right, do it. If it's not right, it's sin. See? Amen. I'm not going to come to your house and, you know, go through your cupboards and find out where. That's between you and the Lord. Just do right. You say, well, you know, just quit the excuses. You understand? If you just quit the excuses and just admit it, you know what the Bible says? Confess your sin. Well, you can't confess it if you're not going to admit it's sin. See? That's the problem with these people here. Nothing's sin. And if nothing's sin, you can just do whatever you want. Amen. All right. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Why do you die? But do you really die? See? You're right back. That's, you know, amen. The wheel's still spinning, but the gerbil's dead. Yeah, amen. All right, what they teach on the existence of hell. The olden opinion that hell is fire and brimstone has yielded somewhat to the metaphysical fact that suffering is a thing of mortal mind instead of body. So, in place of material flames and odor, mental anguish is generally accepted as the penalty for sin. Mental anguish. She's giving me mental anguish with this stuff here. But that's not hell. Hell is fire and brimstone and pain and torment. I didn't make that up. That's what Jesus Christ said. The one that rose from the dead, the one that saved my soul, I'm going to believe him. And he said it was a literal place called hell. He said in Matthew 10:28, fear not him which can kill the body and afterwards can do nothing, but fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Amen? That's what we need to fear. Destroy what? Both soul and body. Why would he say that? Because during the millennial reign of Christ, when he comes back, he's going to be taking people and he's going to be telling angels to bind them hand and foot and cast them into the lake of fire. It's going to be on the earth. Hell's going to be on the earth. There's no faith in the millennium. It's all by sight. You're going to see people go to hell in the millennial reign of Christ. You can't see it now. We accept it by faith. But they're just as much there now as they will be when we see it. Mark 9:43, it says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off, and it's better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Say, what is hell? Unquenchable fire. That's what Jesus said it was. He says in Luke 16, he gives the example of the rich man and Lazarus. And that rich man went to hell, and he was in torment, and he was athirst, and he was afraid, and he had a burden for lost people, but it was too late. Amen. He lifted up his eyes being in torment. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse 10, the devil that deceived him was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. And hell and death are going to be cast one day into an eternal lake of fire. And everybody that's rejected Christ will burn for all eternity. If you're here, listen. If you're here and you're not saved, let me tell you something right now. We love you. We love you enough to tell you the truth. A lot of preachers today trying to water down the gospel and make you feel good about yourself. You're a sinner, and you don't need to feel good about that at all. You've sinned against the holy God, and his wrath abides on you. We love you. We want to see you saved. And the only way you're going to get saved is if you repent and come to Christ and trust in the Savior. And you better do it today. Because there's no guarantee God will give you another chance. You need to make up your mind. I need to get saved. I want to live. I want to go. Listen, we all did it. We're still here. Everything's okay. We're still alive. See? Nothing happened except we got eternal life. So don't listen to the devil lying to you and saying, what if I do that? No. You just come and trust Christ. I didn't say nothing about joining a church. None of that. You trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, today. He'll give you eternal life. Amen. He'll take his blood. He'll wash away all your sins. Wouldn't it be nice to have all your sins gone? You want to talk about a load taken off your body? You can have it today. You can have it all taken away today, just like that. Trust Christ. Amen. Because we don't want you to go to hell. But hell's real. All right? Hell's real. Well, I heard a teacher, and my teacher told me that there wasn't any hell. Well, why would you believe him instead of Jesus Christ? As simple as that. Who are you going to believe? The one that rose from the dead? The one you base your calendar on? Or some teacher? Well, they went to college. Enough said. Amen. All right, what is man? Man is not matter, they teach. Man is made up of brain, blood, bones, and other material elements. He's not? You know what that means, don't you? You're not really here. But you are. Man is spiritual and perfect. Well, at least they're humble. And because he is spiritual and perfect, he must be understood in Christian Science. Man is idea. The image of love. You read your newspaper lately? The image of love? Man? I don't think so. He is not physique. You're not really physical. You're spiritual. But you still think you're physical. That's your problem. That's why you get sick. That's why you die. You need to get over that. It's mind over matter. See? Some of you just think you're poor. It's mind over matter. Amen. You think you're sick? It's just mind over matter. Amen. Problem is there something the matter with your mind? That's it. The Bible teaches in Genesis 2:7, God formed man of the dust of the ground. Physical. Breathe in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. There's three parts to you, body, soul, and spirit. It says that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray God your whole soul, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not just a spirit. See? Your spirit, your soul, that's you. That's who you are. See? And your body. You're all three. Alright, what do they teach concerning prayer? Mrs. Eddy many times reaffirmed her conviction that prayer to a personal God is a hindrance, not a help. Listen, when you pray, you're saying, God, I'm not able. God, I need your help. God, I need you to do something for me that I can't do for myself. See? That's why we pray. You understand? But if you think that you're God, if you're just spirit, if it's simply mind over matter, and then you can control everything around you by thinking so, well then, what would prayer do but show you that you're not really God? See? That's why they teach what they teach. Because it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. In that garden, when the serpent came and said to the woman, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He hasn't had to change his tactics since. Attack the Word of God and then offer godhood to man. He hasn't changed since. What did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Oh, he's satanic. He has a five-pointed star upside down, or he's wearing black. Or, you know what satanic is? Man is the measure of all things. Man can make it to heaven on his own power. Man is good and perfect and wonderful. It's the exaltation of man. It's humanism. It's evolution. See, you started down here, man. You didn't need God. You became from an amoeba what you are today. And you'll continue to progress and get better and better. And so one day, you'll be God. So what's that? That's evolution. That's what your teacher believes. Unless they're saved and have been in church, I guarantee you, The world and the college and public school system has got a hold of them, and they believe that they came from an amoeba, which came from... You're lost! You don't even know where you came from, and you don't even know where you're going. Yeah, but we're making good time. And the whole time, society's getting worse, everything's falling apart. We're getting better, we're evolving. Believe me, I know the world looks at us and thinks we're crazy. If only they knew what we thought of them. I mean, loony, man. Like Lester Roloff says, insane asylum run by the inmates. The nations are mad. And it's only going to get worse until Jesus comes back. Amen. Oh, you Christians, you're all just a bunch of nuts. Yay, man. Praise the Lord. And squirrels are going to have a time when all those nuts are gone. Thank God. He said, pray our Father which art in heaven. Amen. We're to pray to God. Pray without ceasing. Praying always with supplication in the Spirit. We're to go to God and pray. We're to pray every day. Say why? Because we're not God. The Bible says we're worms. The Bible says we're but dust. We're just clay. See? We need something bigger and more powerful than us to do the job. And when we pray and we're crying out to God, listen, doesn't already God know what you need? Right? Let me ask you a question. Now, honestly, has God ever answered a prayer of yours? Let me finish. Before you prayed it? Because He knows what we need and He's just good? Amen? But you know what He said? I want you to pray anyway. Because, listen, we're telling God, when we do that, God, we need you. We're leaning on you. We're trusting you. We depend on you. We can't do it on our own. Hey, we're in spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle. But if you get up and start thinking, I can do it on my own, you're in trouble. We need to get flat on our face. Can I ask you a question? We're almost done. But I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you got somewhere flat on your face and said, God, help me? I mean, you and God alone somewhere, flat on your face. When was the last time? Said, God, I need something that I can't do on my own. God, I need you to step in and help me. And God, if you don't help me, it ain't going to get done. Now, you understand how that's 180 out from Christian Science. Christian Science is just believe it, and it'll be so. And then when it doesn't happen, you can't admit that it didn't happen. Because if you admit it doesn't happen, then you're admitting that you're not believing it's so as much as you should. You know what that leads to? That leads to somebody saying, I wasn't able to heal you because you don't have enough faith. See that? And what it does is it makes you feel guilty, see, for something you have no business being guilty about. And that's how the devil works. Instead of being guilty about sin, instead of being guilty about those things, he makes you guilty about the things you shouldn't be guilty about. Instead of Holy Ghost conviction, it's condemnation. See, against the things that... And listen, if you're saved, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And thank God for it. All right, let's go ahead and finish up here. So-called Christian Science is neither Christian nor science. It is simply another means of the devil to deceive the mass of lost humanity by conveniently getting rid of guilt and sin. And that is the underlying thing of Christian Science. See? No guilt, no sin. And if you're not guilty of your sin, then you don't need a Redeemer. Then you don't need salvation. Okay? That's a terrible place to be. Because one day you'll have to stand before God in your sin instead of in Christ. Because you wouldn't admit that you had sinned against God. And that's the big problem with Christian Science, see, is those people will never admit that they've sinned against God. We've got a gospel, listen, we've got a gospel that's being preached today. And the gospel starts like this. Christ died for what? Your sins. And what you got today is a bunch of people trying to be nice, trying to be sweet, and try to present the gospel without using the word sin. And you can't do it. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. You want to look at a bloody cross with a bloody Savior hanging naked on it. Why did he have to go through that? One reason. Sin. He had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, I see when I look at that man on the cross that was beaten to a bloody pulp with those nails in his hands and his feet and that soldier putting that sword in his side and the blood gushing out and that crown of thorns upon his head and a face, the Bible says his visage marred more than any man, to the point where you couldn't recognize him, to the point when he was speaking, people couldn't understand him. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? They couldn't understand what he was saying. Oh, he's calling for a lion. Okay? That bloody picture. So what is that? Sin. My sin. Put him up there. Amen? And the gospel is that Christ died for your sins. Say, so what's sin? Whatever's not right. All unrighteousness is sin. What's sin? The breaking of the law. Yes, sin. The Ten Commandments. I asked a guy once, I said, so you kept the Ten Commandments? He said, yeah, I've been a pretty good fellow. I've kept them. I said, really good. What are they? He couldn't even tell me what they were. But, oh, yeah, I kept them. You need to get past that. You need to get to the point where you say, guilty. We go to the detention centers and preach to them boys. And we saw, I don't know, in the last couple of months, about 10 a week getting saved there. You know why? It's not that difficult to convince them that they're sinners. That's the hardest part of the gospel, you see. Getting somebody to really see it, realize, I've sinned against a holy God, and His wrath abides upon me because of it. If you can see that, you understand the rest of the gospel is easy. The rest of the gospel is there's a cure. The rest of the gospel is you can be saved. You can have all your sins taken away. Christ will give you life. He'll give you eternal life if you come to Him. Yeah? Amen? So just realize that you've sinned against God, then just come to Christ. Come to Christ. He'll take care of the rest. He's alive. He's a living Savior. He's real. It was real blood. It was God's blood. Said for your sins. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Brother Eric, would you close us in prayer, please? Amen. All right, next week we're going to continue our study on the cults. We're going to be looking at the charismatic movement for the next few weeks. So go ahead and take a break there, and we'll pick it up in about 15 minutes for service this morning.